Tonight's guest on the Legends of Hockey, all-time leading points D-man of the Sioux Greyhounds. Pleased to have as a guest here tonight, Chris Felix. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Spanky. It's great to be here.
Well, Chris, I look back, boy, what a career you had as a Sioux Greyhound. Opening season, rookie season, 80-81. You played 66 games, 3 goals, 18 assists, 21 points as a rookie on that team. Talk a little bit about that team and the coach of that team.
Yeah, it was great, Spank, just coming here as a young 16, 17-year-old up in Sault Ste. Marie, sort of a place I never, not say I didn't know, but coming from the Toronto area, I knew Parry Sound, I knew a little bit about Sudbury, but the Sioux was kind of far, and just to be an opportunity to be drafted, an opportunity to play in the OHL was a great dream and a great thrill, and I couldn't say enough about coming to the Sioux, and it was fantastic. Played for Terry Crisp, I'd heard about him, knew about the Flyer days and his Stanley Cups, and just to get an opportunity was fantastic.
Chris, we talked about that draft. You were selected in the fourth round in 1982 by the Greyhounds. Tell the Greyhound listeners that we talked off about the players that were selected, the top five in that year.
Yeah, I think it was a great great draft, and for the work that Sam McMaster did and his scouting crew, Stevie Graves out of Nepean, out of Ottawa, he was a first-rounder to us and ended up being a first-rounder to the Oilers. Wayne Gruel, second all-time points leader in OHL history, he was a second pick. Bruce Bell ended up being a D-man drafted by the Nordiques. I was lucky enough to go fourth, and then and same thing, a guy you guys might have heard of, a guy named Rick Tocchet. He had a pretty successful career, and Ricky was in the fifth round. So the Hounds had a great draft year then.
Year number two for you, Chris, 82-83 was a great season, 66 games, 15 goals, 47 assists, 62 points for yourself. Some of the players you mentioned, Gruel, Conway, Greco, Tocchet, Tate, Bone, Hoover was a rookie, Bookaboom was a rookie, Graves and Kenny Sabourin. Tell a little bit about that season.
Yeah, I think once you get into the second year, you get a little more confidence. And like the first year, you're pretty much playing, it seems like you're playing with men. You're 16 playing with 20-year-olds. You're coming from midget, minor midget. You're playing with some pretty big boys. So the second year, it was nice to have a little more confidence and get a little more more leadership on the team. And it you felt comfortable and knew what to expect, knew with Crispy again. And he tried to keep everything the same. So you got a lot of confidence in the second year.
Good success for that team in 82-83. They lost in the finals that season. Year number three for yourself. Again, 70 games played, 32 goals, 61 assists, 93 points. You had your third year as a Greyhound. Crisp again, the coach, goalies Armelin and Uliano. Tell a little bit about that year.
Yeah, again, so now you're running into a little more confidence and playing pretty good, and it's you're only as good as the guys you play with, and I was very fortunate enough to play with some great hockey players, and we almost made everybody look good, and you contribute to the success of the team, and it was a lot of fun, and we got close, but it was the fourth year that really turned things around.
Tell the Greyhound listeners a little bit about Coach Terry Crisp. Obviously a very intense man. Describe him to the listeners.
Crispy was probably the best. I was very lucky to play for some great coaches. I played with Dave King coached me. I had Barry Trotz down in the American League later on who won the Stanley Cup with the Capitals and that. But Crispy understood the game. When you get a coach that's played, he understands when you're tired. He understands when you need that boot in the ass or you need to pat on the back. And Crispy was just that guy that could motivate and get the best out of everybody.
Chris, year four, just an outstanding year for Greyhound hockey fans, 84-85. That was the year that the Hounds, 33-0 at home, a Canadian record. They beat the Peets in the final, made it to the Memorial Cup, eventually losing to eventual winners of the Cup that year, Prince Albert Raiders. Yourself, 63 games, 29 goals, 72 assists, 101 points as a D-man in that season. Tell us about that year.
Well, that was probably my most memorable year playing hockey or playing for the Hounds. Midway through, we traded for a guy you might remember, Bob Probert, came to the team. But we had a, how can you imagine a line of Bob Probert, Wayne Gruel, and Graham Bonner? I think they all had 50 goals. You had Oliverio and Zettler, rookies, Bukabu, myself playing defense. And the 33-0, it wasn't something that we really thought about too much. We're out there playing. You got to win tonight. People said, oh, 9 in a row, nice streak. I don't know, 15 in a row. Then the talk of the town, every now 20, 25. Again, it wasn't so much the streak. We just wanted to win every night, and the team was that good, and we were lucky enough to set that record. And again, I don't think it'll ever be broken. It's very, very hard to come by. You might get 10, 15, 20, but 33 in a full season is a long time. I remember the last game, Chris Brandt has to score in overtime to win that one. So that, maybe it's just something that was meant to be, but a wild year.
And you had to be honored that year, Chris. You were selected as a captain by Coach Terry Crisp to lead the boys. Talk a little bit about the honor of being captain.
Yeah, I think it's a true honor. Anytime you get to be the captain of a team, it's something special. And again, being with Crispy for my fourth year, and believing in me and believing in a little bit of leadership that you need in the dressing room as well as on the ice and off the ice, and it was a real honor to be selected.
Chris, you graduated from the Greyhounds, went on to some outstanding years in hockey. A little bit here, I've wrote down, you played 3 years on the Canadian national team, including the 88 Olympics. Talk about that Olympic year.
Yeah, that was another honor, Spanky. It was something I really remember about from my parents. All you young parents out there, you know, you can't put a price on the amount of time and the money you spend from hotels and tournaments and equipment, and, you know, something my parents did. So it was quite an honor for them to be there at opening ceremonies and playing for your country, playing in Calgary, and looking over and see mom and dad there. It was almost like a thank you for everything you'd done for me, and I know that they were proud. And was something I'll never forget.
Chris, I had the honor to be on that game on New Year's Day in Sault Ste. Marie when the Olympic team come and played Team Russia here on their way to Calgary, and just an outstanding experience for myself. You went on after the Olympics, a bunch of players signed with National Hockey League teams. You went on to the Capitals. Tell us about that.
Yeah, again, that was something, another thrill. If we rewind right from the beginning, Spank, playing hockey, I just love playing the hockey, to get an opportunity to play in the OHL, then an opportunity to play for your country. National Hockey League is a very difficult to make it, whether it's only 1% that make it, but it was a dream. And now going back, Sam McMaster, who graduated from our team and everything, he ends up signing with Washington as one of their head scouts. He knew all about me from my minor career, got a hold of David Poyle and said, hey, I think we got a guy that might be able to help us here. And Sam did a lot of work for me, and sure enough, had a contract for me with the Caps. It was another great honor.
Chris, continuing on after the NHL experience, over to Europe for 7 years in Europe. Talk about briefly for the ground listeners your stay in Europe.
Yeah, Europe was another great challenge. I had just gotten married to my wife, and we headed over to Europe. You got to remember, the game was different back then, where there was a lot of hooking and a lot of chopping, a lot of fighting. It different than now. I consider myself a smaller Ryan Ellis type of Morgan Riley offensive defenseman. Back then, you had to be 6'9", very, very tough and strong. So there wasn't a lot of options for me. So Europe, again, was another great place to go over. It wasn't as rough. It's more of a skilled player's game. Bigger ice, which was just suited for my ability. So 4 years over in Austria, went over to then to Switzerland, then to Finland, then we won the DHL championship in Mannheim in Germany. Great career, great year to see the world and play a little bit of hockey.
Chris, you talk about your offensive talents. To this day, fifth in all-time scoring in the OHL points for defensemen. That's just incredible to be able to hold on to that at this stage of the game after your career back in the 80s.
Yeah, again, that's another honor, Spank. Some of these numbers and stats that people tell me about, I don't even realize. Again, you're just playing the game, and they tell you, well, you're fifth in the OHL after 30, 40 years. Like, well, that's a pretty good career, I'd say. I'm pretty happy with everything.
there's so many stories to be told. You must have one in mind to tell us your Greyhound days.
Well, there's so many, like you said. I remember one time it was our fourth year, we were playing in London, and London had a big rivalry with the Sioux back in the day, and we're playing in the London Barn, and it's sold out, and I'm not sure the score, but it's close. And we're in the third period, and that was when the wave was all going around and everything, and you could hardly hear anything. So Crispy leans in the middle of the bench, and he says to the boys, okay, when the wave comes around, I want everybody to get up. So here it comes. Sure enough, the whole team up on the bench. Well, now the London fans, they started cheering, and they were happy for us. So we almost turned the whole game around, and from being booed and heckled, now they were cheering for us. So that was just part of Crispy's genius plans that worked all the time.
Well, the time seems to be short on these interviews. Chris, tell us a little bit about your family currently, what you're doing now, and some little bit about your family.
Yeah, now it's great to say that I love Sault Ste. Marie, and I stayed here, married a Sioux girl who a lot of people might know, the manager at Bay Dental down on Bay Street, that she runs that. Fortunate enough to have two amazing children. My daughter Taylor, 24 now, she's over in Europe doing her master's in psychology, and some people might know you. My son Justin, he just graduated from dental school. Now he's over in New York pursuing his career to be an oral surgeon. So something I'm very proud of, and for some of you parents out there, I just wanted to mention that some people always say, well, you're disappointed that your son didn't follow your career. And I said, well, that was my career. Those were my dreams. What my children chose, we support very much and do what they can. And for his career that he's had now, that's a first rounder right there. Never played a game in the OHL, never even made the midget team, let alone the Olympics, but has a very, very successful career now, and something I'm very, very proud of.
Final point, Chris, special memories of that Memorial Gardens. Anything that comes to mind here briefly?
Well, the biggest thing is that when I talked to the guys that on the other teams that we played, they said they hated coming to the Sioux, and the old joke that you had the Sioux flu. If the other team could get a couple points in Sudbury, they could miss that Sioux game. But the fans were second to none. When we put the fourth line out and they would just go and buzz and get a big check and smash somebody into the boards, they got cheered just like it was a goal. It was great, the feeling that you had from the first line to the fourth line. Then when we won, the whole city was happy. The lady that made the popcorn, the guy that drove the Zamboni. It's just a great city and a great town to play in, something I'll never, ever forget.
Well, Chris, thanks for the memories. I had the opportunity to be on the Lions when you played here in the Sioux, and you were a great player. The fans, thank you for your time here in the Sioux.
Yes, Benke, thank you very much. And it's one thing, once you're a Greyhound, you're always a Greyhound. And I just like to wish everybody else and teams and players that might be coming here the best success. And it's a great city, great town to play for. And by the way, Benke, there's a guy named Gretzky. So I can't remember the first name, but I always said, if it's good enough for Wayne, the greatest player of all time, it's good enough for everybody.